Thanks for listening to the Adam and Dr. Drew Show on Podcast One.
All right, we're doing a little vaccine talk, a little hot vaccine talk, and maybe talk about age stratification and COVID and how I had to compose myself before I came in here.
Recorded live at Corolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. Dr. Drew's board president takes up with a...
COVID.
It's a COVID punch.
Yeah. That's the COVID punch. Is that with rum or vodka?
I can do it either way.
That's
nice. A rum, usually. Right. Drew, so how you feeling, man?
I'm here, which is a triumph.
Mm-hmm.
But I had to go lie down as soon as I drove in. That's all I could do.
Mm-hmm.
So it's so effing weird.
Mm.
The fatigue is just bizarre. Do I look okay?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm okay,
the
but...
Same.
But
I mean, yes. Okay.
You'll hear my breathing is hard. Mm-hmm. So breathing is still short. And the fatigue is just insane. The fogginess is getting better, but mm-hmm. I still have ringing in my ears, and the diverticulitis is still kind of going away. So it's and I have weird upper respiratory congestion that comes and goes. So I have to hear myself sniffling.
Mm-hmm.
But still, you know, lots of interesting thoughts about being a patient and COVID and what we're doing with it, as a particularly as a city and a state. I don't know if you saw recently. I don't know if I have the energy to get into this, but our public health officials yesterday were complaining that although the 65 and above is the new standard for distribution of the vaccine, like, well, the Sacramento just didn't give us enough vaccine, so we don't know how we're going to do that. It's like, why aren't you standing on a hilltop and screaming that Sacramento needs to solve that problem immediately?
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to rolling – are you interested in solving – saving lives or not?
Mm.
Right.
I don't – I mean, everything gets politicized, but it seems like if – there's been a concerted effort to hide or downplay the age of the people that are most impacted
by this.
Which
is so weird.
Which
– so weird.
Listen, motherfuckers. When this fucking thing started, the first thing out of my mouth were, where are the fucking ages of the people that died? The first fucking thing I said, where are the ages?
And we discussed it.
All the assholes were like, well, there's a HIPAA thing. And they can't, you can't say 89-year-old from Arleta? That's a HIPAA thing? You don't use the person's name?
Yeah.
Oh, well, everyone made excuses. And I kept fucking saying, I want some ages. And I went, never got ages. And all I got was fucking bullshit about HIPAA or other various whatever. We had a news guy on. He didn't answer it. Nobody fucking answered it. I'm fucking tired of people not answering shit. I was talking about this fucking age thing in like March. Where are the ages? Never. It's something that's been held from us. Now, I'm not saying they've lied. They just withheld it.
Well,
they haven't given us the information in an attempt to scare us.
And
then it comes time to give out the fucking vaccine. And of course, we're not giving it to the old people first because we never got the message.
Huh. Which is, you're right. There's a weird.
Ooh, I made Drew think.
Well, because I thought there's a weird consistency there, which is, oh, we got to get the frontline workers in quotes first.
Or like people of color or whatever
frontline workers, how it goes down.
Well, and, no, they were breaking this thing up down along racial lines for a while.
Because those tend to be the frontline workers.
No.
But it
was frontline workers and people being impacted most, whatever, which had to do with the color of your skin. It wasn't just frontline workers, Drew.
You're right. It should be the age. It should be the
age. Of course. But why should it be the age? Because we never got the message.
My son announced to me that I was talking to him about, you know, vaccine choices and stuff. And he said, I'm not getting the vaccine. I go, really? Why? He goes, this is nothing. I walked right through it. If I get it again, I don't care. I'd rather get it again than get some vaccine I'm not fully confident in.
Right.
And I thought, okay. that's a rational choice. He has time because he's immune for the time being. So, you know, Kevin from Kevin and Bean got a second dosing of this,
yes.
A second heaping helping of
COVID.
Of COVIDality. And he, I interviewed him on my Fox 11 program. He had a tough time. He became delirious and encephalopathic and was running around his house, cut his leg open. Jesus. Out of his mind. Yeah. And I think he was sicker than he understands he was. And he's kind of coming around now. But that gave me a little pause, let's say, because I was hoping, I was aiming for, you know, years of immunity from this thing. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to measure my immunity on a regular basis with a group that I work with called Additix. And the point at which my antibody response right now, have I talked to you about this at all? Did I tell you my own personal antibody response?
Maybe off the air.
Yeah. So my antibody response is 15 times what a vaccine will give you. So I had all my antibodies measured, and it turns out I have antibodies against multiple proteins of the virus. So I don't have to worry about the mutations because I'm immune against multiple aspects of this virus. And if you look at the spike protein, which is what the vaccine is directed at, the average response in terms of the magnitude is the number is about 15,000. I was like 180,000.
Mm-hmm.
So I would like orders of magnitude greater response and immunity, and I'm hoping it's the same. Anyway, I was just thinking that after Kevin got it a second time, I thought I'm going to monitor that carefully, and when it drops, I'm going to go ahead and get the vaccine. That's what I'm going to do. In the meantime, why should I take a vaccine from somebody who needs it? Ridiculous.
Mm. We got a question about the vaccine, and sure. Someone's got a beef with Los Angeles.
Oh, wow.
But Drew,
yeah.
here's a thought. We heard little to nothing about the age of the people that were being killed by COVID.
Well, you did in one CNN story.
Well,
remember that?
They did that because they're a horrible news organization didn't know they were fucking up their own point
right.
by saying 92-year-old clarinet player will never blow into the clarinet again. You know, they were there. CNN oftentimes when they make a point are actually making the other point.
Right.
I've heard it many times. Many of their pundits on that show and many of their anchors on that show are actually making an argument
that substantiates the other point of view.
Yeah. Yes. If you want to do a roll call of people who died and the average age is 7 years older than the average American dies, then you're not doing a very good job of expressing of what a deadly virus this is if the average age is 91. And you then explaining he used to like making balloon animals for kids and he's not going to be able to do that anymore because he's dead. That's not journalism.
Right.
Almost everyone has to stop doing what they're doing shortly after they die.
Almost.
Almost and shortly.
Well, at least the balloons. The balloons
those are the
go.
Two operative fucking words. Yes, if you watch enough CNN, you'll realize they shit on most of their own points. And the reason they shit on most of their own points is the same thing you get into when you get into an argument with your wife. They actually shit on their own points as they're arguing, but they do it with passion.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Conviction.
And matter of fact, the passion clouds the points, obviously. So you're passionate about this CNN story. Nobody raises their hand and go, you're listing a whole bunch of people in their 80s and 90s. That's not, you're not driving your point home. You're saying they're people in an old age home in hospice care who died.
Yeah.
That's not really a story. And if it is a story, then it's a story every single day around the world.
Right.
Ugh. Fucking idiot. They're such fucking idiots. It's weird how – but it's what happens when you're steeped – you know, it's what happens when you're 90% passion and 10% statistics and information. That the passion just washes over the stats.
Feelings.
And you shoot – yeah, your feelings fuck up your own points.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
All right.
Back to feelings.
But Drew, here's a thought. Almost no age talk – as it pertains to who's being affected by COVID.
Uh-huh.
Lots of race talk about who's being affected by COVID. Yeah. So now when the vaccine comes out, we got to make a decision. Are we giving it to old people?
Oh, I see.
Or,
right.
And of course, everyone's like, we got to give it to the people of color because that's been the narrative, right? So what do you think the politicians are going to do? They're just watching the narrative. They haven't heard anything about old people. They've heard everything about frontline workers and people of color. So they go, that's where we're going to do it. So that, of course, it's the wrong place to put it, but so
well,
be it.
And then, unfortunately, what they're hearing is nursing home patients the most vulnerable. Nursing home patients the most vulnerable.
Right.
As I've said before in this program, the average life expectancy after you're admitted to a nursing home is 6 to 18 months.
Yes.
You're not going to live very long in all probability on average once you're admitted to a nursing home.
So you're saying guys who like doing balloon animals will never be able to do balloon animals again?
I'm saying something like that.
Holy shit.
And the group that is most at risk of contracting this thing and most and losing the most years of life and suffering the most morbidity are the 65 and plus that are up and about.
Right.
So that's the group that finally they released the vaccine for, except they can't get it in the in LA County.
Well, Braden, Braden is 50 from Glendale. Braden?
Hey, guys. Speaking of vaccines and skilled nursing homes, Drew, you're sounding better, right?
I'm better, but man, I can't
shut
do
up.
Much.
He's better.
Yeah, I mean, I knew when I walked in
and
here.
What were you doing before this? Thatching your roof
when you
got home?
I knew I'd start hearing about
staring at your phone.
Heavyweights and lightweights as soon as I walked into this studio.
Well,
so,
sorry, but
and I immediately labeled myself lightweight just to feel good about what was coming my way as soon as Adam got to the mic.
He's a lightweight.
For sure. No. Mm-hmm. Is this your first time back in the studio?
Yes. And I had to, I drove here and I had to go lie down for 15 minutes just after driving 10 minutes.
Automatic.
That's crazy.
I drove a stick here. I was fucking on my feet ready to go. Six speed.
You're awesome. You're a heavyweight, dude.
I drove a manual, and I'm fine.
Okay, speaking of the vaccine, so, Dr. Drew, I don't know if you mentioned this or not, but Dr. Barbara, I'm not a real Dr. Ferrer, chose not to use the county, chose not to go with CVS and Walgreens, to go with another company because they wanted to get the vaccine out sooner than December 28th.
Yeah, it's getting very confusing. The nearest I can tell is, and again, it's confusing, which is terrible public health policy, but okay, confusing. Yeah. They opened Dodger Stadium to a, quote, mass center and then selected five pharmacies where they were going to distribute it, except those five pharmacy represented – they were 30 miles from the majority of the population of the county. So I don't know what they were doing. And I heard last night she was going to try to use the other pharmacies. So we'll see if that happens.
Okay. Yeah, so I have a friend who's director of a skilled nursing home in Ventura County. I talked to him about this. He says, yeah, we've all been the staff and everyone here in Ventura County all been vaccinated. I said, check with your colleagues in Los Angeles and San Diego. Check with his colleagues in San Diego. Yep, same thing. All vaccinated staff and residents.
Yeah.
Checked with a colleague in Los Angeles. Nothing.
Yeah, yeah. It's a
and
catastrophe.
That's because they chose not to go.
Well,
CBS
let's just say, Adam, just riddle me this.
Thanks Braden.
Riddle me this. When I was getting my career going, practicing medicine full time and working alongside of my peers, do you fashion that any of us thought a good thing to do or a high thing to strive for would be a county job?
No.
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 So who got the county jobs?
The fucking rejects. I mean, it's always the fucking bottom of the barrel who takes this kind of jobs. And, I mean, everyone wants to call everyone a hero.
But they're not treating them like that. That's the problem. They're treating them like they are the tippy top. And Catherine Barger, who's a LA County Board of Supervisors director here, said that somebody from SC approached her and said, let's put a panel together. We have UCLA, SC, Caltech here. Let's put it together and get a real panel. I was like, oh, my God. Yes. No, we can't have that. No.
I know. It's like thinking people who work security at the airport are an elite fighting force.
Right.
Like, get the fucking Green Berets, you assholes. Get real guys who know how to do this job and let them do it. Obviously,
I think I'm going to really push on that going forward because it's too much. It's too long. I don't want other people to go through what I went through, for Christ's sake. And that's just forget the mortality side, just the misery and the injury part, the morbidity we call that.
Mm-hmm.
That is not discussed, and that's common.
Okay, let's talk to Andy, 52, from Orlando. Andy?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Hi, guy.
Hey. Dr. Drew, first, congratulations on making it back in the studio. Glad you're feeling
better.
Yeah,
good times. Good times.
Hey, I just had a question you've probably never been asked before. childhood thing for both you guys. So my profession is I'm actually a comic book artist for a living. And, you know, so I draw superhero stuff, Marvel, DC, that type of stuff. Been doing it for 30 years.
Nice.
Did you guys ever get into and read comics when you were kids growing up?
No. I labeled them for, they were for pussies. It's the way. Oh,
well, also, they cost something too.
Well, they cost something, but that was for losers.
I probably glanced at it, but I did not either. And
it was kind of gay. I looked at it as for gay losers.
Well, I kind of think that. Well, Jesus,
don't put that on your business card. But, sorry, I don't mean to mock your profession.
I kind of think that there's sort of a genetic profile of the guys that are into it.
Gay losers.
No, you're either in or you're not in.
I know.
You know, and I'm very surprised. And part your thing, you needed an active fantasy life because you were lying in the
I
closet.
Could barely read.
Maybe that's that.
I wanted my – I've talked to Drew about this before. I didn't want anything to do with comic books or trading cards or baseball cards or video games or simulations or phone sex. I didn't want anything to do with any of that shit. Yeah. I wouldn't want to either go – fuck or fight or throw something or like play the game. I was so weirdly physical when I was young. I was insanely physical. Right. I never really talk about how just weirdly physical. Like I was sort of, if I was standing around when I was 12, I'd just be doing push-ups in front of the TV set. Like I was just that guy. Mm. And so sitting and reading about something, you know, sports or a book about sports or comic books or collecting pogs or trading cards or something. It always felt weird to me. I wanted a go-kart, man. Like, I want something I could put my hands on. I've always been
a little more in that
very
direction too,
tangible, you know?
Not like you, but I was more that direction. I wonder if that's the issue with the comic books, you know?
Yes, yes.
Well, I used to. So I drew all the time because, like I said, it's what I do for a living. So I collected them, but I drew all the time as well.
Oh,
but,
well, listen, there's no first off.
Good for him.
Good for you and your talent and doing a job that only, you know, less than 0.whatever% of people can actually be employed
and,
doing.
And that there's a large group of people appreciate, too. Just because we don't appreciate it doesn't mean.
Yeah, there's a lot of gay losers out there who really.
You know, I kind of feel about comic strips the way I feel about golf. they both are mysterious.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you. But, Andy, there's, you know, first off. You have an expertise. These days, anyone with an expertise, I'm down with.
Yeah.
And not your theoretical expertise, but like an expertise. You can actually pick up a pen and do something.
Yeah. 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 That's the world is not full of enough of that, right? We've sort of established that, you and I.
Yeah.
Can I tell you my website or no?
Yeah, go ahead.
Of course.
It's easy. It's just Andy Smith, the word art. .com. So andysmithart.com if either of you guys is curious to
put it up there, Gary.
Look at the stuff.
We'll look at it. We're
cool.
Looking at it now.
That is cool.
Take
stuff.
A look.
Wow.
So elaborate. I do specialty comics. But I was going to say, I'm still into cars, and I used to race. Well, I'm 52. What do I care if I say what I did when I was 16? You know, we used to street
Dude, you
race
sound,
and all that
you
crap.
Sound 19.
The comic book world.
Kept you young.
Keeps you young. Because you never turn into a man.
Hey, don't tell my wife that.
Thanks.
Or your kids.
Thank you. All right. Let's see. We got a Peyronie's disease.
Yeah, yeah.
I haven't talked to one of these guys in a while. John, 43, San Francisco.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, man.
Hi, guy.
So, Drew, married, two kids, relatively young, healthy, and somehow I got diagnosed with Peyronie's about a couple months ago and saw the urologist, and sounds like there really isn't a lot of options, which I was very surprised by. I just want to get your take on it.
That they have a lot of options? Is that what you said?
No, they don't.
They don't have a lot of options.
No options.
Well,
it's a curvature of your penis, right? But they must have to calibrate it because a lot of guys got a little English down there.
Yeah, I think Peyronie's technically has to cause discomfort or function problems.
They're not doing it based on a template or something, or like if it's over 7 degrees. Like,
give me that there penis and put it on a pie chart.
Well, I don't know. Maybe, John, how do they measure it?
Well, they didn't actually measure it. They checked, and the guy told me, and he said, you know, I'm in no pain or discomfort. I can still have
Hold
sex.
On a second. I didn't mean measure it.
I know. I know what he meant to.
Well, he said they didn't measure it.
What they do is they go and they feel for plaques.
They feel the for show. Plaques. Yeah. Sorry, John.
I'm still confused on how I actually got it. And
yeah. Well, people.
I feel like
well, how did they diagnose it? Sorry for cutting you off.
I basically self-diagnosed it. I described it. I mean, it was pretty clear what it was. And then the guy, he talked about it. He asked me some questions. And then he felt around and just drew it. And he said, yeah, here's the plaque. Sounds like there's a couple centimeters of plaque. And he's like, yeah, there's not much you can do, basically.
All right. So God, my brain. I was something I wanted to say about what Adam was asking about the diagnosing. Gone. But my understanding is that they do have surgeries. They are better technically than they had been. There are injectables and there are topical agents coming. So I'm a little confused. Is it that he didn't feel you were bad enough to need anything? Is that maybe more what was going on?
Well, he said, let's give it like 6 to 12 months. He said, sometimes it'll just go away on its own.
Right. Yeah. So, okay. So
he told me to.
So this is a clinical decision he's making. He's saying, this is not bad enough. How you got it is mysterious to us too. There's all kinds of theories about it. Trauma. Local trauma is one of the ways you get it, but it doesn't seem to be a very common way people get it. It just sort of develops. We don't know if it's autoimmune, whatever, but there are options. But he's being conservative, probably because your degree of issue is so mild. I think that's more the that it's not worth the risk of intervention. But there's topical stuff coming.
Jordan, 33, Fresno.
Hi, guy.
Hey, how you guys doing? Long time, first time. Mm, huge fan. Forever. Love Line days. Mm. Anyway, so quick little advice question for you two. Dr. Drew, glad you're better, by the way.
Thank you, man.
So my parents, when all this happened, you know, they're 63, 65. They're going crazy.
In what way?
I mean, well, okay. So my dad is a retail manager. And so when his stores were like closing and he could like kind of pick who could come in and who didn't come in with a mask, all this power went to his head. He was telling me like old ladies would come with no mask on and they needed help with something and he wouldn't let them in. I was like, Dad, that's the meanest thing I've ever heard. Like, why are you acting like this? My mom, she wouldn't let people like inside her house still, but she still goes shopping at Trader Joe's every day and comes back home, doesn't quarantine. It just doesn't make any rhyme or reason.
Well, this
just
is actually
trying to get
really
a little hold on it.
This is actually kind of interesting.
Go ahead, Drew.
Your dad particularly is interesting to me because I've seen a lot of aberrant behavior because of people being given unusual amounts of power. And it's been literally when I run against it, I get confused and I see it a lot. You run up against this?
Talking to Adam, talking to me.
Waterfall.
Well,
Adam.
Yeah, there's two reactions to having power, being put in a position of power. Usually just two. One is it's uncomfortable.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I've been the boss for quite some time in many different locations, and I was never comfortable with that sort of,
that.
I'm going to come in, I'm going to tell you what to do.
Yeah.
I would tell people what to do, but like I didn't relish.
Didn't like it.
Well, like I'll put it to you this way. I think when I worked with Jimmy all those years, I think Jimmy liked it more than I did.
Right.
Which, by the way, it doesn't make you a bad guy to like it. People try to become the boss for a reason. Like they like
right.
It's not all nefarious, is what
right.
I'm saying.
It can be gratifying in good ways. But
right.
But I have a thought bubble over my head, much like Jordan did, where I think to myself, does this make you happy to speak to people like this? It's confusing to me.
Well, the two ways it manifests itself is a to someone like you and probably someone like me, probably with, you know, our self-esteem, it feels a little uncomfortable.
Yeah.
It feels a little burdensome. You know, you kind of like to just slide in, do your thing, and leave.
Well,
and,
but I'm a little different than you in the sense that you don't like people focusing on you. You don't like right. that. I like collaborating with people. So
I,
if,
I
if
like
it means,
collaborating with
so
people
if it means
too.
Leading a group, fine. I'm up for leading a group as long as it's a collaboration. We're all in it together.
Yeah. But so. For some people, they kind of like the way it feels.
And, clearly.
And they like to take it out for a walk. You know
hey,
what
man,
I mean? Like they want to test it out.
When you wonder how the average German started doing what they were doing, I think this is that.
Right.
I'm not saying that your dad is anything like that. I'm just
fine,
saying
Drew.
This. I'm just
fine.
Saying this is how it happens. Because it was always mysterious
you know
to
what?
Me. I'm very
it's,
familiar
it's
with the.
So weird.
Hang on. I'm familiar with the Milgram experiment and the you know prison guard experiments and all that stuff. I understand that there is, but in controlled environments, they've shown how this happened. But I didn't really understand sociologically how it happens. Now I get it. There are people that really want to be like this, or at least are satisfied.
Yeah, what's so bizarre is he's never been like this his whole life. He's always been, you know, like a retail manager at a big chain. He's had tons of people work
yeah,
under
but,
him.
But now's
ever
his time.
Since I've been alive. Now it's like, oh my God, it's all these on a master knock letter in. And then it all, this is the weirdest thing with my mom and my dad. It's like they enjoy when they lock us down longer and longer. It's like, oh, we told you so. Cause I love eating and drinking. It's something I cannot go out and do now.
Yeah.
And it is driving me bonkers.
I've said
I can't
that,
stand it.
I've and said this before, man. When I was lying there so ill, I thought, oh, good it happened to me, fine. But everybody else needs to live, man. Go live, please. I'll take the bullet. I'll lie here sick. But take care of yourselves. But thinking yeah. of people's lives being upended and me being sick was too much.
Yeah, there's a group that always – there's a percentage of the group that kind of likes the doom and the gloom. Or it's a little bit of I told you so. Or and it's also a way to underscore their behavior. You know, like I am
self-righteous,
not
I mean.
Letting this old lady yeah. into my store because of yeah. this, and I told you so.
I'm better than them.
All right, let's see. February 26th, 27th, Oklahoma City, Bricktown Comedy Club. I'll be doing stand-up there. You can go to adamcarolla.com. Coming to Kansas City, Royal Oak, Michigan, Waukegan, Illinois. Lots of shows. Spreading around. And watch the stand-up stuff. It's free. YouTube.com/AdamCarolla. Drew, what do you got?
I've been doing a bunch of live Instagram. It's Dr. Drew Pinsky is the Instagram website. And, of course, we stream as much as I can. I burn out pretty quickly, but that is all available at drdrew.com.
So, till next time, Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying, mahalo.